It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Today, the city of Boston was on lockdown as police searched for suspects involved in Monday's deadly Boston Marathon bombing. After 9/11, America's major cities developed their own lockdown plans. So what is Pittsburgh's? Joining us to talk about it is Raymond Desmache, Deputy Director of the Office of Emergency Management and Homeland Security. He joins us by phone. Mr. Desmache, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for having me. It's been a busy day.
I imagine it has, and we're happy to be here with you. What are Pittsburgh's lockdown plans, and have they changed at all in light of what's happening in Boston?
Well, I mean, we generally don't refer to these plans as lockdown plans. We refer to this as sheltering in place. And sheltering is in place is exactly that. Versus evacuations from a facility or an area, it's wherever you're at to shelter yourself there. And some things may change based on the reason why you're sheltering in place. Obviously, in the case of what's going on in Boston, they're sheltering in place regarding a criminal element that's loose in the community, and that the folks are protecting themselves from any harm by this individual, which, you know, it's pretty straightforward. You lock the door and you don't let anybody in, as they said, unless it's a uniformed, recognizable law enforcement officer. So sheltering in place is pretty straightforward. It is what it is. And the things that you do is a function of the reason why you are sheltering in place. So as far as that goes, there's not a whole lot of plans per se, other than how to communicate the directive to the population to shelter in place. And that pretty much is the way that you've seen it done today. It can be done through social media, through text alerting, but usually most of the times and the most effective way is through the electronic media.
What we are seeing or have seen in Boston today is one of the first, if not the first times, that we've heard about a major city being on lockdown since these plans were put in place after 9/11. Boston is a big city. Pittsburgh is almost as big. So with millions of people potentially locked in their houses, how do you enforce something like this?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, people have to understand that the purpose of this order is to protect them. So, you know, there is a certain component of this that says that there has to be compliance on the part of the public when this directive is given, because at the end of the day, it's to protect the people. So, you know, if they don't want to be protected, then, you know, there's little that can be done to enforce that. We're not going to, in this particular circumstance, their law enforcement in Boston isn't going to spend a whole lot of time arresting people that fail to lock themselves down or shelter in place, because they've got something much more important to deal with. And that's generally the case in any kind of shelter-in-place scenario, that it's an advisory, it's a directive that's given to protect the public. If the public doesn't want to be protected, then, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do other than to try to reinforce it that it's a smart thing to do. Now, setting down mass transit and ordering taxi cabs to stop, that's a legitimate exercise of police powers, and that's something that can be enforced. But, you know, if we tell you to shelter in place and you want to walk out on the street, knock yourself out.
So in Boston, for example, much of the activity that was taking place was in an area known as Watertown. So if somebody on the other side of the city, say in Dorchester, which is a neighborhood of Boston, if they're thinking, well, the trouble's over in the Watertown area, so if I want to go down the street and get a pizza, I'm going to go do that. If it was in Pittsburgh and the problem was on the south side and somebody on the north side said, well, that's isolated to across the river, I'm going to leave my house, you know, what do you do to account for people that want to do that?
Well, I mean, and again, it has to be an individual circumstance. If the threat is isolated to the south side, I doubt very much that we would give a shelter-in-place advisory or directive to the entire city, unless there's some compelling reason why we felt the entire city was at risk. I believe one of the issues that they're working on in Boston is that during the course of this pursuit, there's some concerns that these folks were heaving, improvised explosive devices out the window of the car, or what else they may have put into motion prior to this event happening. So but there may be some suspicion on the part of public safety officials in Boston that there's some other issue afoot. I initially, when I heard that the officer was killed at MIT, I naturally assumed it was from the officer confronting them. But apparently, as I hear more, they just selected him and went up and shot him while he was sitting in his car. So that kind of gives some kind of connotation on somewhat of an aggressive or possibly part of an active plan. That may be the basis for the folks in Boston saying, hey, you know, just stay inside. You know, that's your safest place. We have no idea how big this is, where it's at, where it's going. So just everybody stay inside. That may be their general position up there. But what I would say to the public here in Pittsburgh is that we're not going to ask folks to shelter in place willy-nilly. If we ask you to do it, it's because we believe for good reason that there may be some threat in the area of where you are at, and your best thing to maintain your safety would be stay inside.
We're talking with Raymond DeMache. He is Deputy Director of the Office of Emergency Management and Homeland Security here in Pittsburgh. There's been a lot of talk this week with the Pittsburgh Marathon coming up on May 5th. What plans are being put into place, especially in light of everything that's happened in Boston? What sorts of extra security measures might you be taking?
We are taking extra security measures, and that will be as much as I will say on the subject. Not to be, coy or standoffish, but you have to understand, we want to assure everyone that we are doing everything that can possibly be done to have a secure, safe event, at the same time making the event enjoyable. I mean, the more secure you make something, usually the less accessible it is and usually the less fun it is to do, with fun in parentheses. So, we're going to do what is best to protect the public, but at the same time understanding that, you know, it has to be, user-friendly, it has to be visitor-friendly. And above and beyond that, we're really not going to say what we're going to do because we don't want, if there are bad guys out there, we don't want them to know what we're going to do.
And Mr. DeMache, that's certainly understandable. Let me just run a question by you that a lot of people are asking.
Sure.
Will there be extra sweeps done for suspicious objects, things that might be left out there, devices, that kind of thing?
After we had the misadventure a couple years back with the microwave at the finish line, and again, what started that whole chain of events starting was an increased awareness on the public's part, because it just so happens the night before that marathon, when we got the call about the microwave, was the attempted bombing of Times Square. So everyone was kind of like on edge and at high alert, and every place we saw, and which is fine, but we have to also understand that sometimes things that look perfectly normal one day after an event sometimes look out of place. So we instituted a number of different procedures post that event to cover a variety of things. One, an actual attack or attempted attack. B, to try to avoid what happened before, which was some innocuous object being misinterpreted as a threat, or C, somebody deciding, well, let's mess with the marathon and call it a threat. So the protocols and procedures that were implemented for the marathon in cooperation with the marathon and police, fire, EMS, public safety, emergency management, all of our partners on the state, federal, in county levels, we put procedures in place that have been there ever since. So this will be the third year that we'll be doing those things. It is not, I wouldn't compromise operational security by saying to you, we will be doing additional things, including, it's reasonable to reach the conclusion, additional sweeps.
Well,
that'll be about as specific as I'll get on that item.
Fair enough. Well, this has been an enlightening conversation. I want to thank you for joining us. Raymond DeMache is Deputy Director of the Office of Emergency Management and Land Security. Again, thank you for being with us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
My pleasure.
Coming up, when do faith leaders and where do faith leaders turn for guidance during times like these? When Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.